Thank you very much. It was very, very nice. Some of these songs, I don't know how you sing them. I really don't. So, I noticed a couple of the young ones looking to Grandma for reassurance. Am I doing a good job? Approval? And you know, God does the same thing for us. And certainly, during these days of unleavened bread, it's about forgiveness, it's about reconciliation, it's about change. We have 7 days as we begin today to look at our lives, and certainly we should be doing that throughout the year, but to map out a plan for each individual does that. A plan on how I can change and how I can be approved of God the Father and Jesus Christ. As we look at ourselves, there are things in our lives, things we do that we want to uproot and want to get rid of. I just cleaned out my flower beds in the process, still have a little bit more to do. And there are certain things there that don't belong there. And to me, they don't belong there, and I have to dig them out, root them out, and get rid of them. I brought a couple of those things today, and I just want to very briefly go through those. And you're going to, as I show you these, you're going to know what they are. And I'm going to show you the first one. Everybody knows what that is? It's dandelion. Okay? Now that doesn't belong in my flower bed. It doesn't belong in some yards. Okay? Now what I did, I dug this up this morning. And the illustration of it, I broke a root off. Don't want to go into this great deal of details. I don't have time. What time is the meal, by chance?
2:40.
The meal is at 2:40?
No, 3:30. I think they're going to start preparing. So.
At 3:30. Okay, so I do have a little time then. But what I did, I dug this up this morning, and you can see I broke the root off. I didn't go deep enough. And I've actually dug these things out of the ground, you probably have as well, that have 8, 9, 10 inch root systems on them. Go straight down. Now, what will happen? Will that die, the root system there? I broke it off. No. It may not come up this year, okay, because it's so deep. But it will come up. It will still be alive, and it will come up. Another one here that I want to show you. This, I want to go to a scripture. This popped my mind. In 2 Corinthians, I just thought of this morning. It should be good to bring this out. Since we are talking about forgiveness, reconciliation, certainly talking about change, not offending other people. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 12, just want to read that. As we think about this dandelion. Now, this dandelion, when we spiritually think about it, I'm going to call it sin. Because it doesn't belong in my flower bed. Does that mean that it's bad? Does that really mean that's bad? Because it's in a place that it shouldn't be. Are there good uses for dandelion? Absolutely. You can have the greens. You can make greens out of them. You can make salad out of them. You can make wine out of the flower part of it. And it has a beautiful flower. So there is good to the dandelion. And certainly with us as well, since we're thinking about this, not wanting to offend people, forgiveness, reconciliation, let's read this. In verse 9 through 12. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and it goes all through those individuals, with mankind. Verse 10. Nor thief, person that steals, covet, drunks, revilers, that is, gossipers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Our purpose in this life, and our calling in life, is to inherit the kingdom of God. To be a part of the family of God. In verse 11. And such were some of you. So he's talking about us before. You know, we understood the truth. That wasn't our way of life. Didn't want to live that way of life because it was harmful. Not only to us, but to others as well. As were some of you, but you were washed. That is, we repented, we changed, but you are sanctified, set apart, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of your God. All things, after we accomplish, and are down this road that Kirby was talking about, the road, we take the right path that God directs us in. All these things are lawful to me. Okay, the dandelion is not all bad. It has good application. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not profitable. This is not profitable in my flower bed. We can do things in our lives that are good, right, and lawful. They become unprofitable if they become a stumbling block to someone else. It causes problems in their lives. So the thing is good in its right place. All things are not profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So it's a good thing. But as we interact with people, things are lawful for us, but we don't want to offend or cause a stumbling block. The second kind of I'm going to call it a weed. I don't know what this thing is, but this is different than the dandelion. The dandelion has a long root system. It's very hard to root out, very hard to get out, and you have to dig way, way down to get the entire root, or over time it's going to spring right back up. It's going to be there. Next year, I'll guarantee, I'll go out in that same hole. If I mic that hole, that would be right back up from that root. This one is different. It has a lot of roots coming off of it, and it's very shallow. And we think about Christians in our lives and sin and how it permeates our lives. Sometimes we have deep roots. Sometimes we have sins that just kind of scatter and go all over the place. And the effect, there are parts of our lives and different parts of our lives. Now, I've got a sneaky one. I don't know what this is either. I have been working for years to try to get this out of my flower bed. What it does, it works on a vine system. The vine system is under the ground about a half an inch. You can take this out of the ground, but I'll guarantee you, if you don't get it all, it'll go over here and it'll pop up again. And it goes all over and spreads all over. And it's a very sneaky thing. If you don't get it all out, it comes right back and pops up somewhere else. But those are the types of things that we have to think about and look at in our lives as we think about forgiveness and reconciliation. Things that don't belong there. Our goal as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, is to measure up to the stature, be in the process of measuring up to the stature of Jesus Christ, to His standards. And so many times, we compare ourselves with one another, and we don't realize that we haven't arrived there yet to do that. And we judge one another. We've just observed the Passover, renewing our covenant with God, the foot washing, and we're clean. However, we need to think about these days. We need to work on self. And I say self because I can't change my wife. And she's tried to change me for years and it hasn't happened yet. So we need to make this period of time a period of time of our lives, in our lives, of sincerity and truth. And what I'm going to do, my wife was so kind to type these scriptures up. I'll just go ahead and read them. Not, if I go to them in the Bible, I have a tendency to expound more on them, and I'll not do that today. But in Matthew 5 and verse 43 through 48, this is what Christ said that we must overcome, and we want to be in the King. You know, we've heard in the past, we overcome. But we need to change. And I think we're coming to a point in time in the church that we begin to understand what God means and what He wants out of us when it comes to change. I have come to understand the more meaning of God and what God is. God is love, and what that means for me, and how I interact within the Church of God, and certainly without the Church of God. Because God wants all mankind to come to repentance and to be in the very family of God. There was once a time that I thought that I was better than the people outside. And that's not true. It's only by and through the grace of God. Matthew 5. You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despisably use you and persecute you. Of course, no one in this room has ever been abused, with or nor without. Now, that's silly to say that, because most of us have had a lot of abuse over the years, within the church and certainly without the church. Verse 45, that you may be children of your God in heaven. So he's saying, if we're going to be children of God, we are to be praying for, we are to be loving our enemies and doing good to them. It's not an easy task, is it? Not easy at all. But that's what God requires of us. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, that is, we are to measure up to God in the process of, certainly we probably won't in this physical life, but we are to be in the process of, in the process of going forward. I have a few points that I do want to share with you today. And point one, starting today, and if you need a title for this, Let Go and Let God. Let Go and Let God. And I'm using certain quotes from Joel Osteen. So many of you know and have listened to him. But the point one, starting today, we can change by letting go of the past. And the more I thought about this subject, the more it hit home. Because I have thought about repentance and what it means, and I found that I have fallen very short because I didn't understand what really repentance was. There are things that we can't change. Let go of the past. There are things we can't change. We have to put in God's hands. Let bygones be bygones. And as we go through this, you'll understand what I'm talking about. We live in a society that loves to make excuses. It's not my fault. But the truth is, if we allow bitter resentment, it is because we are allowing ourselves to remain in that condition. We alone do that. We can't blame it on someone else. It's your fault that I'm bitter. It's your fault that I resent. It's your fault. No, it's not. It's my fault if I remain in that situation. We all have negative things happen to us, but we can change. We all have, at one time or another, have chips on our shoulders. God gives us free moral agency to choose. We can take it off, or we can leave it on there. We have many valid reasons that we can become bitter or are bitter. We can say that no one deserves the struggles I've had in this life. No one deserves the things that I put up with in the Church of God. And we've all been there. No one deserves the verbal abuse that I've received over the years, whether it be on the job or in the church. No one deserves sexual abuse. No one deserves emotional abuse. We don't deserve that. Maybe we've struggled with a chronic illness most all of our lives, and some have. Why did I deserve that? I didn't deserve that. I don't deserve a heart condition. I don't deserve to be sick. Why me? Emotional wounds. but we make excuses. We have to let go of the past, and certainly it's not an easy thing to do. We have to let God help. You know, many times we do have valid reasons. But excuses, feeling sorry for self. And as I thought about this, it is a victim mentality. And it's rooted, deep-rooted, in Satan. Because he had a victim mentality. It's not my fault. God, you're not fair. Or someone else is not fair. And too many times, we compare ourselves to someone else's life, dwelling on what could have been. Did you ever do that? What could have been? Or what should have been? Or what might have been? Or what if? Why this? Why that? Why me, God? Why are you always picking on me? I want to serve you and I want to do your will, but things just don't go right. And it seems as though, where have you gone, God? Where are you in my difficult times? And we all have to go through these things. But we can't hold on to bitter feelings, bitterness, resentment. They're poison. And they poison our future. We need to get rid of the hurts and pains. We need to forgive the people who have done us wrong. Real forgiveness and real repentance comes from the heart. It's where it comes from. It's in the mind, but it comes from the heart. Down here. Down all the way down, all the way down to the root, from the heart. That's where it really comes from. You know, we do it in the mind, but it has to come from the heart. And that way we can get rid of the things. And we need to forgive ourselves. So many times we mess up. And I think maybe that's one of the most difficult things, is to forgive self. Forgive self. Quit beating self up. King David set us an example. He had an opportunity to kill his enemy, King Saul, using a bathroom in a cage. 1 Samuel 24:8, I'll quote, "David also arose after, when he went out of the cave, and he cried after Saul, saying..." Now, did David have a reason to be angry, to hate, to want to take Saul's life? Pretty much so. And he probably would have thought to himself, I can justify this. But David said, "My lord the king," and when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. One of forgiveness for what he thought. One of respect because God put him there. After all, David could have ended the persecution of Saul. But you know, as I thought about this, I'm hoping that David thought, what if I did? What if I took his life? I end the persecution. And it all stops with Saul. But what would be the consequences? You see, that's that little voice that God uses by His Spirit that whispers to us. What if? What are the consequences? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to be hurtful? Can this be a help or a hindrance? Psalms 51 and verse 1. The psalmist said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." that's who I want to become. Merciful, loving, kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And throughout this whole theme, we know that sin separates us from our loving God. Sin separates all these good things that can happen to us and to our families and to the church of God and to our brothers and sisters out here on the street. Sin separates. Sin says, no blessings. That's what it says. Repentance says, blessings. The good life. The kingdom. The vision. The hope. And that's why we're here. That's what it gives us. That's our motivation. That's our drive. That's our driving force that keeps us going forward. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me of my sin. For I acknowledge. You know what that big word means? Acknowledge. It means I am looking at myself. I see myself. I repent. And I hold on to it. I repent. And as God forgives, I forget. Forget it and move on. You see, that's a problem with human beings and human reasoning and a hard heart. We have a problem with moving on and forgetting. It's kind of like this morning, and I was looking at my hands, and I've got some scars on there from being reckless. You know, I don't remember where I got those scars. Don't remember. It's not important, but they're still there. And the same thing with us. We have scars. Some have a lot. Some are deeper than others. But you know, the good thing about repentance and forgiveness and forgetting, you forget where those scars came from. You forget where they came from. You forget who put them there. And that comes from the heart. That has to come from the heart. When we think about sin and how sin works and what sin is, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin draws a man in by himself. It withdraws an individual from friends, from community. And the more isolated one becomes, the more destructive sin becomes, and it overtakes him. Sin wants to remain unknown. Sin wants to be in darkness. It shuns light, and it poisons the whole being. That's a quote from Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. King David also set us an example of how to overcome. In Psalms 139, verse 23, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me." Now, before you pray that prayer, it might be a good thing to fast, because what you ask for, God will give. And to understand and to see oneself is frightening and scary and very humbling. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any way wicked in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. What is past is past. You know, we live and we experience life. And sometimes it's good. and sometimes it's bad. We get rid of the past and do something about tomorrow. Think about what God wants for us. Move forward. One of the most difficult things in this life is overcoming the disappointments in this life. The disappointments. You know, when God first called us and we were all excited, it's called first love. And then something comes along and man, we're all disappointed. Why did it work that way? And you know, and we pray and we fast and it just didn't work out the way we thought it would. And then one disappointment leads to another. And then all of a sudden we have our low valleys and then all of a sudden God says it's time to give Him a shot. And He'll put us up on a peak. And we know that God's there. And we know that God's working with us and working, watching over us. And it's not all in vain. And God gives us direction. Overcome the disappointments in life. Disappointments. We disappoint self. And probably the biggest disappointment there is that we disappoint self. You know, we have all these expectations and we want to do this and that. And we have all the dreams and in this physical life. Certainly we want to take care of our children. And we want to do better in church and we want to be pleasing to God. And we disappoint ourselves. You know what we do? We repent and we move on. That's it. We repent and we move on. Let it be gone. I know back years and years ago, we were told to make a list of our problems that we needed to overcome and pray about and all those things. And other lists as well. What we need to do is don't make a list of anything. Pray about it. Don't dwell on it. Pray about it. Ask for forgiveness and let it be gone. It's done. You know, how far does God forgive our sins? Does anyone know? Famous scripture. Man, that means it comes around and meets together, doesn't it? As far as Jesus was. Why can't we do the same? Forget it. Be done with it. Move on with your life. Get on with your life. That's what God expects us to do. Get on with our lives. And so many times, we have been hurt and we're not letting go and something comes along and we just open up old wounds. You ever been with people that do that? And it's very negative. And they won't let it die and they won't leave it alone. The wound is healed. Heal it. Let it scar. Forget it. And move on. That's what God wants us to do. Move on. The second point is get up and get moving. In John 5, we read about a man in Jerusalem who had been crippled for 38 years, a long time. You know, some of us, some in God's church, have had problems, whether they be health or whatever they might be, for a long time. That's a long time to try to keep the faith. It's a long time to try to keep going on when maybe we thought God hasn't answered our prayers. You know, we ask God, where are you in all this? What's going on? Help me to understand. 38 years. Spent every day lying in a pool at Bethesda. I hope I pronounced that right, but didn't. But he hoped for a miracle. This man had a deep-seated, lingering illness. It was on a mat there every day. In John 5 and verse 1, let's read the beginning of the story. After this, there was a feast, and I looked at some of the commentators. It certainly indicated that it was during this time of year, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, or House of Mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, people with problems, blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And I looked, and maybe some of you can help me with this. Waiting for the moving of the water. And I found this interesting. Now what is all this about? For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. One time a year, one season a year, angel came down, troubled the water. Water rippled. Whosoever then first at the troubling water stepped in was made whole, and of any disease that he had. So I thought, you know, I couldn't find anything that tied in. It had to do with Jesus Christ being our healer and our Passover. And that it had to point to that. I don't know. Does anyone know? I don't, you know, and it was amazing when I read that. And I said, why once a year? Was it to remind Israel that God is still here? That He is still our healer and He takes care of us? An amazing set of scripture. And whosoever then, first, after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease. Fantastic. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been there a long time. And certainly in this case, he said to him, will you be made whole? Jesus asked the man, in essence, do you want to get well? And you know, we cry out, you know, I want to be made whole. I want to be made well. You know, how do I do it? And the impotent man answered him saying, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. So the angel comes down, ripples the water, and you got a bunch of people here. And apparently he's on the mat, and he can't get over the mat. No one's going to help him to the mat. Help him to the water, the troubled water. So here he is lying here, 37 years, and everybody's getting healed but me. Boy, doesn't that play out in our lives? And the impotent man asked him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but why I am coming another step down before me? Well, Jesus listened to his excuses. And they may have been good ones. Okay? Does he listen to our excuses? Even though they may be good ones. Why we can't forgive. Why we can't dig out the bitterness that's still in our heart. And he listened. Well, what did Christ say? Did he say, yes, friend, I've observed you, and boy, your excuses are legitimate. You're right. I agree with you. You've had a tough time. Let me commiserate with you. No. Christ looked at it and said, in effect, if you are serious about getting well, if you're serious about, for us, if you're serious about changing, if you're serious about measuring up and in that process of measuring up to the stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you are serious about getting your life in order, boy, I think we're all serious about that. Pleasing to God and doing God's will. If you really want to get out of this mess, is there anybody that's been in a mess or in a mess that really wants to get out of it? Absolutely. Here's what you must do. Get up off the ground, take up your bed, and be on your way. Don't just wallow in your mess. Do something. And when a man did what Christ told him, he was miraculously healed. Christ said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. He did what Christ told him to do, and he was healed. And so many times, I know in my life, that little voice whispers, and I ignore it. I go on doing the things as usual and get into trouble. Third point is bitterness be gone. And all these tie and interlocked. It's about getting rid of toxic waste. Don't bury it. Don't bury it. We think about toxic waste. Man, that stuff's not good for you. It'll kill you, right? And we've had and we've had schools built on it. We've had apartment buildings built on it. We want the best life, and God wants the best life for us. But we must be quick to forgive. Learn to let go. Learn to let go of the bitterness that roots in our lives. Emotional health. And God wants that for us. Our spiritual health. The scripture says, see that no root of resentment or rancor, bitterness or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment. And many become contaminated and defiled by it. Hebrews 12 and verse 15 in the Amplified Version. In the ASV Version, 12 verse 15. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that fall short of the grace of God. Now what is the grace of God? It's unmerited pardon. We don't deserve it. Is what God gives to us out of love. Are we not to understand grace, to have it in us, and be able to give that grace to others? Absolutely. In our lives. Lest a root of bitterness spring up, literally to puff or to blow, to trouble, and thereby we be defiled. Bitterness is described as a root. It goes way down deep. You can't see it. It's underground. We talked a little bit about that. But you can be sure, as we allow that root of bitterness to remain, it's going to be just like that dandelion root that I broke off. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week. But down the road it's going to spring. It's going to come back to haunt us. And that's what it does, producing bitter fruit. It's going to affect our lives, not only our lives, but it's going to affect those we come in contact with because of the character we are displaying. We can pray and ask God to help us overcome any root of bitterness. Simply get it out. And sometimes we do everything we can do, and things still don't go right. So we leave it in God's hands. We move on. We do all we can do. All we can do. We say, God, I've done it. It's in your hands now. And let God take care of it. Move on and let go. Talk a little bit about this buried waste. A few decades ago, we had a lot of that stuff going on. Several American companies were authorized by the United States government. They checked it and made it all sure it was safe to bury toxic waste underground. They filled these large metal containers with chemical waste, sealed the drums just tightly, coated them and all that good stuff. Down below, deep, very deep below the topsoil. Maybe you've read the many, many nightmares of it. Short time later, many of the containers began to leak. Toxic waste started seeping to the surface, causing all sorts of problems. In many cases, they had abandoned sites. All the thousands, millions of dollars spent building on that site, they had to up and leave it. What went wrong? They tried to bury something that was too toxic. What goes wrong in our lives? Instead of completely getting rid of it, we try to bury something that's too toxic to bury. And it jumps out and springs back out. It couldn't be contained. You know, we think as we push things down, we try to hide them, bury them. We think we're rid of them. But we never dream that they'll come back to torment, to hurt us. And we do that. And one day, something will come along and trigger it. Something will come along and spring a leak. And that toxic waste will start filling up and coming to the top and affect our hearts that we've buried there and contaminate our lives. John 15, verse 1 and verse 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch, you know, we're attached to the tree trunk. If we're not attached to the tree trunk, guess what? We're going to wither and die. We have to be attached to that tree trunk to draw nourishment. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Because it's not bearing fruit, it's going to begin to wither. You're going to prune it, you're going to cut it off, and it's going to cut off from God. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. So we know, we've heard a lot of sermons about trials and how trials are good for us. It's a hard thing to go through a trial. It's a hard thing. And I said, God, I don't know if this is good for me or not. You know, is this really good for me? But God says it. And it makes us think about those things. Christ gave us the model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 9. And he said, after this manner, therefore you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Our vision. Our hope. Our dream. The reason that we've been in the church of God, we were called in the church of God and we're continuing with it. You know, it's a shame that you go back through the ages and go back and we come back up into a time that we had 150,000 in the church of God that we knew of. We didn't know about all the people that were scattered out that were Christian, that had the very Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, just like that, pow! Boy, our number dwindled down to about, I don't know, what was it? Just in our group, 17,000 to begin with. You know, just our group that we knew of. And then from there, boy, it kept on getting hits. Are we really dedicated to God? Or are we dedicated to some man, some building, or some organization? We have to be rooted and dedicated to God. We have to be attached to the vine. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Very important. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can we get that? We have to forgive to be forgiven. We have to forgive others. And it's not a mind forgiveness. It's a heart forgiveness. Root it out and be done with it. Yes, there's scars there, but, you know, I don't remember who put them there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, true repentance and forgiveness must come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. Point number four. It's time to change. You're free to be you. Have you ever been told you're free to be you? You ever been told that? There's not a person in this room like Gary W. Evans. We have the same thoughts, many of them, when it comes to religion, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus Christ. We have many of the same things going, but you're not Gary Evans. You're not Sue Evans. You're not Jim. You're not Keith. You're not whoever. I'm free to be me. See? Free to be me. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify, set apart, make holy them through your word, through your truth. Your word is truth. John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free to be you. My name is Gary W. Evans. I am a son of God. Free to serve God. It's who I am. Am I perfect? Shame on any of you that even would go there. I have my mistakes. I have my faults. We are set apart by God's word, and the truth makes us free. Free to follow. Free to serve our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a little story for you. You probably heard the story about the ship that was sailing at night in the pitch black dark. Did you ever hear that story? Anyone? Pitch black. Big old ship out on the ocean. He was sailing along when suddenly the captain was looking across and he saw a real bright light. And you can imagine. He rushed the radio. He sent an urgent message demanding that the vessel change its course 10 degrees east. So he saw the light and he says, change it 10 degrees east. Yeah, the vessel. A few seconds later, he received a message in return. Cannot do it. Change your course 10 degrees west. Oh, man. The captain got really angry. Sent another cryptic message. I am a Navy captain. I demand you change your course. Don't you know who I am? He received a message back a few seconds. The message said, I am a seaman second class. Way down there. Cannot do it. Change your course. The captain was now beside himself, completely furious. He sent one final message. I am a battleship, and I am not changing my course. Well, he got back in just a little bit. He got back a curt message and said, I'm a lighthouse. It's your choice, sir. See, many times we're like the Navy captain. We can be hard-headed. We can be stubborn. We can try to do things on our own. But as we think about that, God doesn't move, does He? He's the same. Sometimes we have to move. We have to change course. We have to change direction. We have to study the Word and listen to that little voice that says, hey, it's going to get you into trouble if you do that. Don't do it. Move on. Change. But they've hurt me too badly. I don't want to change. I'm not going to forgive. And I've seen some that go this course even and they get so emotionally wound up and so involved that they begin to doubt God. That God exists. That there is even a God. So, yes, there are times that we have to change our course. The lighthouse is not going to move. We have to forgive and get on with our lives. And that's what God expects of us. That's what these days are about. Getting on with life. Changing. Moving on. Going forward. Matthew 6, verse 33 states, "Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Things like priority. Boy, I need some help with that one. Priorities. You know, what's the biggest priority in my life? What should I be doing? Attitude. Attitude adjustments. That's old Gary Evans right down the line. Need all those attitude adjustments. Adjusting the direction of life. Of my life. Point five. You know, we've talked about woe is me and all this stuff. You know, we have a God that is going to one day say it's payback time. You believe that? All these injustices that have been done to us, all the scars, which I don't remember how that got there, wherever, God's going to repay. You mean I don't have to do it? No. God says He'll repay all those things. If we do what we should be doing. And certainly, the losses that we've had are incredible. All of God's people have had trials. They have gone through these things for a purpose. And they're scarring. And we cannot hold on to that grief. We cannot seek revenge. Although, you know, you think about today in today's society, there's a slogan that's very prominent here in the good old USA. Don't get mad, get even. And that's, don't get mad, get even. Yeah. Just let y'all go ahead and get even. But for God, God will settle and solve all of our problems. Hebrews 10 and verse 30 says, "For we know Him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Eternal. And again, the Lord shall judge His people." We don't have to go around paying people back. God says He'll do it for us. There is coming a time when the knees will be bowed before Jesus Christ. There is coming a time they're going to come and say, "I'm sorry. I really hurt you. I did you wrong." And certainly for us today in this, as we encounter that, or if we are part of that, that we need to do that today. You know, I did you wrong. You know, I cheated you. Whatever it is, I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. You know, and let it come from the heart. You don't have to go around trying to get even with people. Isaiah 61, verse 7 through 9. "For your shame shall have doubled, and for confusion, trying to talk too fast. "And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Eternal, loves judgment." What is time and time and after time God says He loves judgment? Because His judgment is just and right and good. And it brings about the good. "I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed," in verse 9, "shall be known among the Gentiles." You know, I was kind of watching here earlier when we began the song service, and you're right, Bill, that it sounded great. But I was watching people go down the sidewalk. Any of you do that? Do it? I was watching, and they were stopping. And they were listening. What kind of example were we setting? God was watching. And whether they knew it or not, that was a blessing to them. To be able to see and to hear God's people keeping this first holy day, Days of Unleavened Bread. And you know, God might use that one day, and it might trigger. "And their seed shall be mown among the Gentile, and their offspring among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Eternal has blessed." Maybe we should have opened the door. That they could just come out. Maybe one day we'll be brave enough to do that. Just open the door and say, come on in. We got some good stuff for you. We'll wind this down to 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Know that they are thereto called, that they should inherit a blessing. That's what it's all about. We want to be blessed, not cursed. For he that will love life and see good days. There's nothing wrong with loving life. We want the good life. God has promised the good life. Of course, there are going to be some problems with it so that we'll learn spiritual concepts and things that we need to change. For he that loves life and sees good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Boy, and you probably heard me say a million times, all I want in this life is a little peace. You know, I've had enough grief, enough torment, enough problems. Just give me a little peace. God promises that peace. You know, that's foremost. One of Jesus Christ's names is the Prince of Peace. And I said during Passover, and it just dawned on Passover service, after Jesus Christ came from the tomb and they saw him, what was the first thing he said to the disciples, Mother and Mary? Peace be unto you. He said it twice. God wants us to have peace. Peace in our hearts. Peace in our hearts. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Eternal are over the righteous, and the ears open unto their prayers. Do you ever wonder where that saying came from? I'm all ears and eyes. Your eyes and ears. Right here. He's listening. He's watching us. And sometimes people cry out, where are you, God? God doesn't move. Maybe we have. Maybe we have. Maybe we should have went down the other road instead of going down that road, and we moved in the wrong direction. For the eyes of the Eternal are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Eternal is against them that do evil. Of course, this very famous verse, and we'll leave with this. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes. We have to be doing something. We have to be getting up. We have to be listening to God. Get up and do something and move on. And move on. There was one thing that I did forget. My wife told me there are three different types of people. And I thought that was important as we think about this. What kind of people are they?
And the kind that watch life happen.
Number one, there are people that watch life happen.
And there are people that make life happen.
People that make life happen. And
people that wonder what happened.
And people that wonder what happened. Doesn't that so adequately picture a Christian's life? You've got people, and boy, I'm not doing it. But, you know, years ago, and I had the opportunity of doing all the socials and all that, and I would ask, I'd say, you're in charge of this social. Who, me? Yeah. The whole thing? Yeah. I can't do it. And they would go, delegating is not wrong. You know, that's a good thing. But they would say, I can't do it. I can't do that. And I wanted to get people involved. I wanted to get people up and get people doing things. You know, we are to be preparing God's people for the kingdom of God. Prepare. God wants leadership. Now we're going to go into the kingdom and say, oh God, I can't do that. I can't lead this city. I can't direct. I can't do any of that stuff. That's what we're going to be doing today and practicing and doing. And I'm certainly happy that many of the groups and churches are doing exactly that. Getting for people to participate and to get up and move. Get off your tush and do something. That's what God wants us to do. Do something. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my Father's throne. Even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I have a thing for my wife to do this for me. So please. Handout. And something you might want to think about. 7 days of unleavened bread, 7 churches, all of them had problems. Now, I got in trouble over this many, many years ago. I said, what if in the end time there are 7 literal churches? But we know a lot of that's dual. But you can think about this. Go through these churches. What's going on? What's going on in their life? One for each day. 7 days, 7 churches. And I'll leave it over here. And whatever you want to do, that's fine. But a good place to start. Examine yourself and look at yourself. So as we conclude, let's make these days possible. Let's not just observe them, and well, I observed the holy days and the Passover and all this, and I observed it, and I'm done. And let's make it profitable. Let's make this year a time of growth. Let's let go of the past. Let's get up and get moving. Let's take the toxic waste out and be gone. It's over. It's done. Gone. It's time to change. It's time that you are free to serve your living God as you. And God will pay back the hurts. That's a promise. God will pay back the hurts. Our God loves us. He has a vision for each and every one of us to be in his kingdom, to be sons and daughters of the living God.